Felix Fraga.
Bolivar Fraga, go by Bo.
And Nelly Moyano Fraga.
And we're in the lobby of Neighborhood Center St. Ripley House, which is a community center in the East End. And it has a, especially for Houston, it has a pretty long history. We're in our second building right now, and this was built in 2000, but our first building was built in 1940. Agency Neighborhood Centers goes back to 1907. So as an agency over 100 years, working for the community here in Houston, and this specific neighborhood center, almost 75 years of serving, particularly the East End, but open to the whole city. And we're named after the benefactors who were Daniel and Edith Ripley, a philanthropic couple here in Houston. And when she passed away in the 1930s, she wanted her estate to be used for something that would make better citizens. My dad can take over from here.
The original
board at that time wanted to build a hospital. I guess at that time they thought hospitals are what people need most. And the only difficulty was that they only have money to build. They didn't have any money to operate whatever they would build for the good of the people. So when they couldn't find anybody that would accept the hospital if they were to build it, they had to start thinking of something else. And fortunately for neighborhood centers, there was a gentleman on the board that knew the director of our board, and he called her. It was a lady. And told her that, don't you have a charity that needs a building? We have somebody that can build a building for you if you can get the agency to accept it. When she came and talked to the board, they agreed to build a community center. It was a newspaper article. They called it the largest and most beautiful community center in the country when it was opened. And I believe it's one of the first community centers in the country built from the ground up as a community center. Up to that time, they just took houses or buildings that nobody else wanted to have community centers. They started in London during the Industrial Revolution in the slum areas. College students would go and live in the poor neighborhood and help the people there. And then it came to New York and Chicago, the first two cities in our country to have it. And we've had people that would come to the building not too many years ago and ask us what it was before it was a community center. They couldn't believe that it was built as a community center. There's a picture of the original building, and it was a beautiful building. And they wanted to get the front facade and put it in this building, but they couldn't move it because of the way it was constructed. So the only thing we have in the building from the original building is these
friezes.
Yeah, they were on at the front.
For sure, I know that the artist is Texan. And the idea is that what's represented here, what makes up like a healthy community altogether. Do you have art and music? You have industry represented. You have sports.
What's the fourth one? We ask people, what's it mean to you? Nobody can...
You know, I kind of thought it was agriculture, but what it said is that it's a celebration of theater. And then you have health, medicine also.
One of the features of the original building was to have a clinic where the members could get a physical every year at no cost. And the memberships used to be $1 back then. I think they cost a little bit more now.
And they have the senior citizen program. I remember the seniors.
Yeah.
1966 when I came, they have those seniors programs.
The center has pioneered many new programs. And the senior city was one of them. Back in the 50s, I guess, our senior population was increasing quite a bit, and there were many seniors that were too old to get out on their own, so they were home all alone, isolated, you might say. And they thought that would be a good idea to have seniors come to a center and spend a part of the day in fellowship and recreation. So they started a program that they thought they would have to offer a free meal to get the people to come. And some of the seniors said, I don't need a meal. So they finally said, come and join the other seniors and have fellowship and recreation, and we'll eat at noon. And they got them.
They have the kids, no? The children's education program for the children.
Yes, Yeah, it pioneered daycare for kids. So it did a lot of things that for the first time were being done in the city to help people.
I would say overall, the programs are very similar. You know, we're here to serve the entire community, the whole family, you know, from children all the way to seniors. And, you know, there were athletic programs back then. We still have the gym today. There's the Folklorico group that started here. Whatever we can do to help develop the community, that's always been a theme that's always been through with neighborhood centers working here at Ripley House since 1940.
I remember in 1966 that we have in the gym upstairs, and we were all roller skating. They had so many children all ages coming to roller skate and the basketball, they used to have that. And the educational programs spent learning English. I remember those classes, mm-hmm. And cooking classes, sewing classes. We activities. We have so many activities.
And we have those still today with a full commercial kitchen. So we a lot the same, you know, so many different things. And then to go back a little bit on the history, there's been this ongoing relationship between the agency and the Ripley Foundation. And like I mentioned, the agency started in our predecessor started in 1907, and my dad can share more about the actual Rust settlement.
This is Ellis Graham Baker, the grandmother of Secretary of State James Baker. I met at her home one day with about 12 ladies from the neighborhood, and they lived in what was the lead area of the city of Houston. And I'm amazed when I read where they lived at the corner of Main Street and Bell. It's right downtown. At that time, it was a residence of the people that were well off. And she got her ladies together and told them, let's do something for the low-income people of the city. I don't know if it was, she said fortunately or unfortunately, Second Ward was one of the worst areas of the city as far as, not the whole ward, but the one closer to town by the bayou. And they decided they would build a community center there. And they got one of the wealthy families that lived here, because the first wealthy families to live here lived in this neighborhood. A family named Sedigas. It was a German settlement. You know, I always thought that this neighborhood was always Mexican immigrants, but the first ones to come were German immigrants. And then Italians. And the last group has been the Mexican group. But anyway, she got the ladies to build the center, and they were given this home by the Sedigas family. It was a two-story, nice-looking house. And they got permission to build on the school. I think it was the third elementary school built in the city of Houston, Rusk Elementary School. And that's why the first community center building was called Rusk Settlement. The centers were not called centers, or they were called settlement houses. It was a house of the settlement. And they were there to serve the people of the settlement. So they've always prided themselves, the settlement houses, on not having a specific program when they come. They'll do what the people need. You know, other agencies are built for specific things. The YMCA for exercise or whatever, and on down the line. But community centers always said that they were there to serve what the people needed, whatever it might be. Hey, Frank.
Don't forget tomorrow, eh?
Oh, yeah, that's right. 8 o'clock. Okay. Okay.
Let's go outside.
When the trees lose their leaves, you can see the skyline from here. So it's also one of the centers that's closest to the main city. Back then, it wasn't quite a skyline. I don't know, they had a skyline that was built.
The Epperson building?
Yeah, the golf building, I think. The original Ripley House was on the grounds where the ball field is now. And the ball field was on this area.
So we're outside Ripley House right now, running along Jenkins Street. And then you can see we have a community garden here with several beds there. And our charter school students use it. Our after-school program uses it. And then we want to get the community more involved with it, too. But it's one of the things that, you know, definitely represent what we're all about. And prior to this building being built in 2000, there was a house on the corner of what's Angle Key and North Sydney. And it's where our recycling bins are now. And the house there was built for the director of Ripley House. And the first director was Franklin Harbach. And my parents knew him well.
Yeah.
But so he moved into that house shortly after the first building was built. And then in 1977, when my father became director, we moved into that house. So that's where I grew up, right at the house, which is no longer standing. So unfortunately, when this building was built, they had to tear it down as part of the whole redo of the Ripley House campus. But I'll definitely let my parents talk about Mr. Harbach. And you want to share about Mr. Harbach?
Yeah. He was in New York. He was a social worker in New York. He actually had a law degree, but then he got into social work. And when this building was built in 1940, there was a newspaper article that said community centers being built for the low-income people of the city of Houston. And the German people that were living here in Italians didn't think they were low income or anything. So they boycotted the building because of that. And when they were having a hard time getting people to come, and they didn't know what to do. And they finally hired Mr. Harbach after the first directors couldn't make it work. And when he came, he saw one of the problems was that the neighborhood people weren't coming because of the fact that it was originally built as a place for to help the underprivileged of the city of Houston. He used to have the staff park in front of the building so that they would think it were being used. And through his efforts, he was a great guy. He made it a real successful center. And one of the things he did also to get people to come, because the Mexican neighborhood was a little further toward our town, and this wasn't the policy of the agency, but if you were Mexican, you knew you weren't welcome here.
Which said basically Nagel was the dividing line down?
Where Ninfas is, yeah. At that point, it was just either you were white, whether you were German, Italian, anything, or Jewish.
So Mr. Harbach's memoir, which talks about the agency hiring a Jewish woman, which would have been Ms. Wolf, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that the president of the board, I think either the Ripley Foundation or the president of the board of the Settlement Association, uh-huh, resigned over that.
Yeah. No. The Jewish, they had a hard time. They had a hard time.
It's just the 1940s, right? I mean, it is what it is.
No, that's pretty much it. He stayed here until he passed away. When the building was built, one whole wing of the second floor was for residents. The idea then of a community center was that the people that worked would live right in the community with the other people. That's the way they started in London. It was students that came in and took over an old house nobody wanted, and they lived there and they made it into a center. And this, the idea here was the same thing, was the people that are going to work for these people should live. And he lived there for a few years. And then he finally said, let me have a house here or something. So he had the house was built for his family. And they lived there until he retired. And then we moved in. And we lived there for about 20 years.
77 to 2000? Well, I remember I was three. I know for sure. It was May 1977. I actually do have memories of moving into that house. I was 3 years old at that time. And I remember because it was a two-story house, and where we moved from was a one-story, and I clearly remember the stairs
and
in the house.
And you felt the last story in the morning.
In the morning.
So sleeping.
So.
And down. That would
have been 23 years. 23
years.
She hated to move out.
It was a nice house. Yeah, very nice house.
The guys
house.
Had turned it down so that they had never housed it was that strong.
It was so strong.
It was a big job to tear it down.
The wood, it was really wood.
So they don't make houses like that anymore.
I wanted to add, what I think is interesting about with Mr. Harbach and his experience getting started, my dad said about, that this was described as a community center for the low income when it opened, and that, hurt the pride of the people who live here. I mean, the East End, I think, for the most part, has always been working class and immigrant and a lot of industry here. And there's a great sense of pride, and I think that still carries through today. So even though the ethnic group has changed, quite a bit, that it's still, a great sense of pride. But even though we're not the wealthiest part of Houston for any means, there's a lot of pride of who we are, and that, that we are hardworking people here in the East End. And he also shares in his memoirs that when his daughter went to high school, the local high school here, Austin, back then it was predominantly white, but given that this was a working class section, and just given the way things turn out about how the quality of education, unfortunately, does depend on the neighborhoods you live and so forth. So back then, so even though it wasn't a mostly Mexican-American student body, that the level of education was not on par with Lamar, which was another HISD school. And so Mr. Harbach shares in his memoir that when his daughter went to UT, she noticed that she was at a disadvantage with kids who graduate from Lamar. So when we talk about, De La, about kind of the intersection of class and race and whether class is more the barrier or race, I think back to that story that even though both communities, this community back then and where Lamar is, were both white, there was still this difference based on class, so that when Mr. Harbach's daughter goes to UT, she notices that she's at a disadvantage compared to the kids who graduated from Lamar.
In education.
In education, yeah.
Even though they are HIC.
Right, and even though both communities were white. I mean, because by the 1970s, Austin is pretty much transitioned over to being mostly Hispanic. And, when we usually think of disparities in education, it's usually the gap is between students of color and white students, right? So.
Well, you can still see Lamar. If you go see Lamar and go see Austin.
I personally like Austin's better. It's a nice red brick building, more, I guess, the 1920s, and Lamar's the Art Deco style. But it's interesting.
And if you can go see Jeff Davis, that's where I went to school. It was the last school built before Austin and Lamar. And you can't tell the difference between the two schools. They were built with the same floor plan and same kind of brick. And the first high school built in Houston was downtown, and it was called Sam Houston. And Lyndon Johnson was a teacher there. Mm-hmm. But the only reason I bring it up is because that was the school closest to this neighborhood. So if you live in the neighborhood, you're supposed to go to Sam Houston. And none of the kids wanted to go there because it was in that downtown block. They didn't have a ball field or anything. So if you went there, you wouldn't be You wouldn't have a chance to wear a gymnasium or anything. Oh. I think they used to use the YMCA gym. No, the YWCA was across the street from the school. So I was supposed to go to St. Houston, but somehow managed to go to Davis. But anybody that could go anywhere else but St. Houston would try to do that if they could.
A bit more about Mr. Harbach. I mean, really great gentleman, and he was very progressive. Oh, I mean, he's the one that hired Mrs. Wolf. Would he have been the one?
Yes, oh yes, yeah. Oh yes.
And Mrs. Wolf being Jewish, and then we can share more about, you know, how he kept you in school. But he really worked, you know, that he was here for a long time. That in the 60s, that when the neighborhood really started to transition, he really was trying to integrate Hispanics into the center. And then, you know, with the starting of the folk dance group in 1979, that he was really, I mean, he really championed that. Mm-hmm. So he really wanted to integrate Hispanics into the, because until basically, I guess, what, 1950s, 1960s, so Nagel towards downtown was mostly Mexican.
All Mexican.
Right, and that's where my grandparents settled, his parents, and then Nagel this way was white. And so when Ripley was built in 1940, you know, all the
just
immediate area right around, you know, smaller section of Second Ward was German American, Italian American, and so.
Yeah. And one of the things he did to try to help integrate it was to get involved with a program that I think it worked out of Cleveland, where social workers from other countries of the world were brought here to Houston so they could see how social work was done in Houston. And he took advantage of that by concentrating on bringing Hispanics from the Latin American countries that had a college degree or were working on a college degree to come, and they lived in Ripley House. So the Anglos could see that some Hispanics have a college education and degrees, and I don't know if it worked or not, but it worked for me because my wife was one of those that came from Ecuador. Yes,
Henry Ollendorf, a study program for social workers, so that's what I won that scholarship, and I came from Guayaquil, Ecuador, and I were here. I learned a lot. Yeah, because yes, the mentality is like, where is Ecuador? Or even where is Bolivia, or Argentina, or Colombia? They thought, oh, what part of Mexico it is? It's close. No, it's not Mexico. We are in South America. I had to explain the whole thing. Oh, do you, the kids, the Oliver, do you have even ice cream? I said, yes, we have ice cream. There were so many, do you dress like that? I said, yes, but we have Native people that dresses different than we do. Like here in USA, the Native Americans. So something like that, it was very interesting. You know, do you speak Mexican in the beginning? Do you speak Mexican? I said, no, I speak Castilian. That's what we say, Castellano, no Spanish. But I learned that here was Spanish. So I said, yes, I speak Spanish. So there were so many things that I learned in the beginning.
And, you know, because I was the only staff person on the neighborhood center staff that spoke Spanish, I was given the assignment to show the workers around. So for 2 months during the summer, people would see me walking in the agency or in the neighborhood, surrounded by 8 or 10 women. So Harbach started telling us people, because I guess another thing that he believed in, that you make a better social work, because if you're married, and he would hint to what I was going to get married. And he would tell people, this is the Find Felix a Wife program. I think it went on for about 10 years, you were in the last group.
So
I tell you, this is my last chance.
I was the last chance. That was the reason why he married me. But there are so many from all over the world. They were from India and from Germany and many parts.
But the ones he brought here were mainly Spanish.
So the program was participants who came in the program had to have a degree in social work.
Yeah,
I remember, but I love hearing the story of when she found out about the program in Ecuador. You know, when you tell the story that, because you were working at the paper mill in...
I already graduated, so I was working in a factory. Before I applied, I couldn't come because I was under 23 years old. So I went the first time, but I couldn't come for the age. So I forgot about that. So I was working...
Labor manager?
Yeah, with the workers. Yes, I was keen to see how the family, the worker, had any problem in working the 8 hours. And to know the family, to have the relationship between the company and the family. That was our work with them. It was very interesting. And I received a letter calling me again about 2 years after. I forgot all about that. And my mother read the letter. She said, you need to come home, you know, straight because you have a letter. So I came and was inviting me again. I have a meeting with the consul of USA in Ecuador. So I went. And John Crawford did almost the same thing. Sorry, it's the name. To interview me. And I had my papers, I wrote down questions and all that, so I was talking to her as much as I could because I didn't speak that much English, but I loved English and I took so many classes over there. And I was able to get the scholarship, so I came. And I came, and it was very important for me.
And that year we only had two people, her and this lady from India.
Very nice lady.
And she wanted to know everything. So I had to spend more time explaining to her. And she would complain that I gave her more time than I did to her.
Anyway,
the Rust Settlement is just about a mile and a half toward town, between here and downtown, right on the bayou. And he would visit there. I used to always remember that I would describe him, the man with the uncombed hair, because he didn't care how he looked. But I was going to drop out of school when I made it as far as the ninth grade. I had two older brothers that had already dropped out. In fact, nobody in our neighborhood had ever finished high school.
They need to work to bring meals.
Yeah, and that's so.
And then the war, too. So his two eldest brothers served in World War II.
Mm-hmm. So, and I was going to Rust Settlement as a youngster. I started going there when I was about 3 years old to a child care program they had. His staff would come and talk to our parents. And I remember most of the volunteers were Jewish, the Jewish Community Center that sent their volunteers to come over here. We had no Hispanic volunteers. I guess they all had to work or something. But anyway, they would recruit us to go to the child care program. And they would tell our parents to send us there so they can get ready for kindergarten. We kids went there for the meal we got at noon. The first real meal I ever got was at the center. And I always remember it because now I always try to eat with wheat bread. In those days, they tried to give us wheat brown bread. We didn't even know it was wheat, but everybody wanted always the white bread. But anyway, Minister went on to elementary school, and I made it as far as the ninth grade, and I was about to drop out. The youth worker at the center heard about my situation. I was telling people I was going to drop out and go to work. He said that if I'd stay in school, they would let me work there at the center. And I took him up on it because I didn't know where I was going to find a job. And they worked with me, and they got me through high school. They would tutor me and things like that. When I finally got through high school, they said, you know, if you want to go to college, we can get somebody to get you a scholarship, and you can continue working here as long as you stay in school. So I took him up on it, and the Pan American Roundtable got me a scholarship. Started. He got him this. He got a civic club to give me a scholarship.
Mr. Harbaugh.
Yeah, it was his connection. I think one of the board members was on the Pan American Roundtable. And I guess he figured if they're interested in Pan American, they would want to help a Mexican kid or a minority. And they took him up on it, and they got me the scholarship at the University of Houston. And I played baseball in high school, so after the first year, I went out for the baseball team, and I made it. So the last 3 years, I finished on a baseball scholarship.
He was very good, very, very good athlete.
No, 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 no.
People, he was going to be a big to.
He had a chance to go.
Oh, yeah, a scholar, a tryout for the professionals, but I told him I had to come back and work here.
He's a columnist from
The Chronicle, right?
The Chronicle, a beautiful one that he wrote many years ago about his study. He wanted to keep working in the community.
That was the biggest fork in the road in his life.
He wanted to give it back to the community when he had accomplished.
Because one of the things that happened when Mr. Harbaugh started bringing the social workers from Latin America was that the only social work school back then was a Lady of the Lake in San Antonio. And they had a great working agreement with the agency to take those people and let them enroll there if they wanted to. And so they said, after I continue working, I worked all through college. And they said, if you want to continue to and want to be a real social worker, we'll send you to graduate school in San Antonio. And with a scholarship, I took them up on it. And so they helped me get my master's. And this is the only place I've ever worked.
So very much a two-way street, our family with the agency. And then his parents, my grandparents, back in the early 50s did their citizenship class at the Rust Settlement, the one where he was working as a youth worker before. So
that's right. Yeah.
And they became
so there's the very first Rust Settlement from 1907, which was a like kind of a Victorian house,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That was then torn down in the 50s.
Early 50s.
Before
the freeway came over.
People call the New Rust Settlement was built on Canal.
1952, when I got out of college.
Oh, okay. And that's where my grandparents did their citizenship class?
Yes.
Okay. So when you were working as a youth worker, was the very first Rust Settlement?
Yeah, the original, yes.
Okay.
Because I went there in 1932.
And in the 40s, you were still...
It was still there, yeah.
It was still there?
I started working there in 1946.
Yeah. So now we're looking at the baseball field. It's not where my dad played as a young kid, but it's pretty appropriate just talking about that my dad was a really great athlete. But yeah, the first Ripley House, and so it faces Lovejoy, and then where the new building is, most of that was the baseball field back then.
The other program that Philly started was the Houston Symphony came to here. We used to have right here, we sit down and listen to the Houston Symphony to educate our people about the symphony and learn about the instrument, what it does, how it sounds, and all that great we used to have it here. Now we go to the John Hall and sit right there and it's for free.
Yeah. Sinfonica Familiar is the name of that concert.
Yeah, but it started right here when we used to see it right there. Everybody would come to the neighborhood.
The pavilion was over here, and that's where they played. And it was beautiful. And you had to think, God, it's stupid that only the few people that can come here can hear it. And there were Mexicans at this time all over the city. So we asked the company in Texaco that sponsors it if they could have it at the symphony hall. They took supplement. Now it's full of people. It fills up.
So we have a group of our middle school classes out and with their, that's our science teacher that are out there right now. The agency is chartered as a school district, like YES, PREP, and KIPP, and maybe 2001, 2002 that the school opened?
Yeah.
And then we started grade by grade, and now we go on this campus, which is two buildings, we go kindergarten through eighth grade, and two classes per grade, and then a few blocks towards downtown at the Anelita Fraga building, named after my grandmother, is our pre-K facility. And we have in total just over 500 students.
This is beautiful, you need the birds,
right.
And this.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful campus. The building itself got an architectural award from AIA, which I think is great, you know, considering a nonprofit receiving, you know, that type of award. It definitely speaks to the agency neighborhood centers of how we feel about our work, how we feel about the communities where we work.
I think it's the first community center to have a school in its own building, because I think the agency started the child care and then from then on it went to early education. And they could see that they gave the kids a good start, but once they got to the schools in the community, they weren't doing the job. So they said, maybe we should keep them here.
Right, so we're an open enrollment charter school, and our area we define as Harris County. So any family who lives in Harris County can apply to send their students here. The majority, you know, around 75% come from these zip codes. We're in 70011. 003 is just across the street, the other part of Second Ward. And then the other zip code, 023. Most of the students come from these three zip codes.
How long has this been?
Since I've been here, I think from the beginning. Plaza de los Niños.
This is the plaza of the children.
Mm-hmm. 79 we started, so what is it, 35 years? Yeah, it's 35 years that we started the Ambassadors International Red Folklore. We used to call it Ripley House. That's how we started. But there was a little conflict on the fundraising. So because of that, we changed the name. And we have been serving the community all these 35 years, and people are coming from all over. Even from 1960 or Sugarland or Katy, they're coming over here for classes. And we used to be here. We had to move from here. After 35 years, it was hard to move. We are now at TBH. And because of the dance floor, we had to do that. So, but those 35 years, we were born here in the back. We used to be in a garage. And thanks to the Arco, it was the car. What was the name of the gentleman who helped us? We gave a donation and we changed the remodeling place. It was beautiful. We have a dance floor,
right.
Mirrors, and we have a wardrobe right there. It was great. And the parents were working hard. We have so many. One year we have 125 students. It was incredible. And we had also at least six youngsters from our own organization teaching the others. And going to the school with HREC, we used to have a contract. So our performers were going to teach different classes. And we came international 3 years after we started, that I wanted to learn besides the Mexican culture, the culture I came from, and to make a diversity. So they do from Colombia, Spain, Venezuela. We're going to have a program pretty soon about Venezuela. And we do a variety of, and we have been able to go for that reason to Ecuador. So a group went to Ecuador, we went to Europe, to France and Germany to perform. So it has been a great experience with all those youngsters from 4 years to no limit of age that we have. But always we need boys. Yeah, very few. So it's very important that we
started here with the support of NCI. All this year we were born and we made our parade base because of the support of the NCI Ripley House.
I was reminded when you said that y'all used to do the dance in the garage. That's the garage to repair buses.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Harbaugh was always looking for ways to better serve people. And he started sort of like a bus company almost to bring people to schools or whatever. I think that was the beginning of school transportation for the school district.
Mm-hmm.
They can see that by having buses, you make it easier for people to get to where they need to go to get help.
To be working, to be employed in the neighborhood center, you have to have a driver license, chauffeur driver license. So I got it, my first one, was a chauffeur driver license.
Yeah.
I passed the test, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, all the staff had to be bus drivers. So.
Yeah, we have to drive.
That's one of the kind of interesting moments for me when I've been at the center is, you know, people that were kids when my dad was about my age, they might be walking in the hallway, it'll be somewhere in the center, they'll hear me speak, and they say they have a flashback, they feel like they're 10 years old, and I'm my father, and I'm about to get them ready to go, they're going to go, you're going to take us to the museum on the bus. You know, it's one of their best memories, a lot, you know, of people that grew up coming to the center, you know, that... Yeah, your dad used to drive us to the museum, he used to drive us here, he used to drive us there on all these field trips, you know.
Because
they live here, they didn't even know that there was a museum, no zoo, no San Jacinto Monument, no anything outside the limits of where they used to live. So it was a great opportunity. They never forget that they used to go different places.
You know, the last housing project, public housing project, I think built in the city was over here. It's called Clayton Homes. And I remember one time we were taking the kids on the trip. And we went out to the River Oaks and the Galleria area. And one kid saw a group of apartments. And he said, hey, there's another Clayton Homes. Because the only time they ever seen apartments was their public housing. So I've never forgotten that.
We're going to go into our senior room. And Monday through Friday, about 8 to noon, we have a senior program. And they come for fellowship, for different programs. Well, the staff who are specifically in charge of the program, they'll organize different speakers to come on different days to talk about different matters related to senior living. And then they also do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they have a specific exercise program for them. But a lot of them walk around here, and a lot of them are at our food fair right now, but we're going through the room.
He'll probably get stuck in a little bit.
Buenos dias.
Buenos días, ¿cómo está?
It's Mexican style bingo, right?
Pues sí, entonces hay una baraja y empiezan a sacar las
barajas. They raffle the cards and have these figures on it, and the bingo, the person calls out.
Y ganas así, ganas así, y así, o llena todo.
So either you can fill out the whole thing, or you can go by row or diagonal. And you usually play con un frijolito, ¿no? With a bean?
Pues todos en la casa, en sus tierritas.
Yeah, he's like a little kernel of corn.
Even corn.
Yeah.
Well, I like some chocolate.
Frank, are you a Korean War veteran?
Well, I was stationed. They shipped me to Germany, but it was during the Korean War. That man and I went to school 75 years ago. 75 years ago. I'm going to show you a picture.
Oh, really? You had a picture with Felix?
Yeah, there he is.
That's Felix right there.
Teaching how to play, right?
Yeah. This was taken around, I think it's 1945.
Never seen this. Yeah. Wow.
So he's always been very much a people person.
Look.
So you can see why they thought he'd make a good youth worker.
So tall he was. Oh, he was so handsome.
This is me right there.
Which is you?
Right there.
We're wearing the baseball cap?
Yeah.
This is Sergio Spike.
Thanks.
No, I know it is.
It is. 1945, I think.
Yes. It was one of the first parks that was built in the neighborhood in Houston. We went back to 1912 or something. It was a German neighborhood. And it started that way. It became Italian. But anyway, the park was there since 1912, and we used to have to play in a vacant lot just about a block. Never knowing this park was there, because if you were a Mexican, they wouldn't let you go.
So how did you find out? So it was until the 40s you could start playing there?
Yeah, it was 45 or something.
He was a leader all the time.
We didn't even know the park was there. At least I didn't. We played a block away from there in the vacant lot.
You
not knowing that there was a beautiful park just a block from there.
They didn't know.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm telling them. We couldn't even go there.
They used to run you off.
The old Ripley, too. We used to play the old Ripley, too.
We can go this way.
Yo, get your chocolate, man, before Felix.
All right. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están?
Buenos dias.
Thanks, Frank.
Don't forget tomorrow, Felix.
No, I'll see you there.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Bueno, que tengan buen día. You're one of the best things I love about the seniors is that every month they'll celebrate the birthdays on a second Thursday of the month in the gym, and it's one of the best parties to come to, you know. And this is one of our kindergarten classes. It's such a great connection, you know. You got the seniors and right next door to the kindergarten. Good morning. Good to see you. How are you?
Mr. Felix.
Good to see you. Boy, you're still in the game, man.
Good. Don't stop.
So here we're in our inner plaza. We call it Plaza de Amistad, Friendship Plaza. And this morning what we have going on is the food fair. Because our gym is being used by our second graders right now, we have the people that are waiting here in this beautiful plaza under the shade. And it's a beautiful morning, so that works out great. And so every month when we do this, and we do it once a month, Houston Food Bank is the provider of the food, and we're a distribution site. And we always want to do is make a connection with not just providing the service of giving the food out, but also making sure that people get connected with other resources that can help them out. And you'll see the banner there that's connected with enrolling for healthcare. You know, want to make sure that people are connected and know about the new system now under the Affordable Care Act. So we have that. You'll see tables of other providers, different other organizations. So we definitely want to help people take that next step to helping them improve their lives. The grills are available for the community use. They just have to check in with the front desk and know, and then we go over quickly on how to properly use them. And then we use them ourselves for different events that we have. But as a center, we have pretty long hours, basically 7 in the morning till 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then Saturday 8 a.m. to 2. We are an open campus, and then also it's our philosophy to be open place. And so during the weekend, you know, on Sundays, you know, children are playing on the playground and so forth. Now people use like the park, exactly. Yeah, yeah, we can walk around this way. And we're going to enter our middle school building. So in here you can see a bit of the history of this building and more of the.
This is the lady that that board member talked to and said, "What you're looking for, or don't you work for a charity?" I think we call it charity. But the neighborhood center never feels that they're a charity. But anyway, she's the one that came and convinced the Ripley Foundation to build Ripley House. It's the son of
The other program that started here with all of you is the health program, the La Fiesta de la Salud, Feria de la Salud.
Oh, health fairs.
Oh, now it's all over.
Right.
That's place.
Yeah, right. Health fairs.
But right. I started here with the
first child care, they pioneered many programs.
We'll just walk through that.
It's the first center to have school into it.
And overall, all our spaces are multi-use. So, you know, this is during this school day for the middle school, it's the cafeteria. And then for the monthly meeting of the Second Ward Super Neighborhood, it meets here, and we'll use both this building and our main building, you know, we'll use for our different programs throughout the day. We just exited the middle school building, and we're back on one side of our main building. And want to show a mosaic mural that was put up a little over a year ago, and it's one of my favorite parts about our center. So this is made possible by the Orange Show Center for Visionary Art and their main sponsor, Shell Oil. And it's done by a local artist, Jesse Cifuentes, who worked with a group of our seniors here to do this, and all under the project manager at that time, Adrian de la Cerda. And the name of this mosaic is Our Family, Our Community, Nuestra Familia, Nuestra Comunidad. And so working with the seniors, they came up with a design together, and so you see it's definitely very much an East End scene. There's a family right in the center, you know, just the importance that to any community, you know, and particularly here, but to any community. To the right, you know, we have the train, the light rail train, that's going to be opening up relatively soon, the East End light rail line. Right next to it, a row of shotgun houses, very representative of this part of town. Above that, the tower, what I call the tower of the coffee plant. I remember growing up, it was Maxwell House, it became Maximus, and now there's another owner, but definitely a mainstay of the neighborhood. Got the head of a parrot. We have a lot of those birds now here in the East End. A magnolia tree, you know, very representative of Houston and definitely the East End. And then the emblem of Horn Show forming like a nice kind of blanket carpet that the family's on, like on a picnic. And then you have, I believe it's a maguey.
Sí, el maguey.
Maguey, which is a very symbolic of Mexican identity. Yeah. Tequila's made from the pulque that comes from the maguey. And you have the hiking and bike trail that comes, the Harrisburg hiking and bike trail that comes through the area, and somebody walking on it. We want to encourage people to that message about health and getting outside. Just a very beautiful scene, and fantastic that we have it here at Ripley House, and then that our seniors were able to work on it. I mean, they're listed on this lovely plaque. It's something definitely to... that will be here for a while. They've worked on it every stage to learn how to cut the mosaic and how to place it on there. Mr. Cifuentes did the bulk of the work, you know, and he was on it constantly working, you know, throughout the day, and the seniors when they were here, but they played a role in every stage of the process. We're walking back to the main entrance of the building, and we've, you know, talked about health, you know, throughout, and I want to highlight that we have some great partnerships here related to health. There's Texas Children's Pediatrics Associates Clinic who's here, and one of the many fantastic things about them is that they take a wide range of different types of health insurance, include CHIP and Medicaid, and then if a family doesn't have health insurance, so they can have the opportunity to pay on a sliding scale fee, or they'll take somebody as without payment, you know, as a charity case, and so definitely don't turn anybody away. And it's fantastic that they're here, and they're here to serve the community, which is great. Then we also have another partner organization, another nonprofit called the Paris Foundation, which provides a wide range of counseling services for the community, and that's very key. You know, everything ranging from anger management to family counseling to services specifically related to young people. Ripley House, you know, we're open to the community. Anybody can come in and ask about services. You know, if we don't provide something here, we'll help get people connected to where they need to go. But you know, we're open, and not only for East End, but for the whole metro area.